from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Bread. Sorry about the little pops and squeaks in the middle. I wonder what that was. Anyway, it's me, Eric Wiltshire, with Lee Banks and Rachel Brunston, talking about the topical things of the day, really, I suppose, aren't we? Well, that's what we're doing, yes, yes. And I apologise in advance for the next couple of items, because we're going to have rant pants. The voice of reason is about to disappear out of the window.
Hang on. What? Let the voice of reason just finish that Thomas Cook thing. It'll take 10 seconds.
I bet it don't.
Well, it does, really, because what's happening?
Hang on, Rachel, stopwatch.
All right.
Yep, go.
Thomas Cook have written back saying this was an isolated incident. But how can it be an isolated incident if, in fact, it's part of the booking procedures of this company? Thomas Cook are supporting this way of ripping customers off. And they have come back saying that's it. So that means they're going to carry on using this company. This is not over, Thomas Cook. No.
It ain't. That was
21 seconds.
Yeah,
clearly in breach.
Clearly in breach. Absolutely. Well, we'll just dock him 5 seconds off the next topic, then, Rach, shall we?
Alrighty.
Okay, yeah. Then that's a done deal. It was the first ever, and I don't understand why, BBC Music Awards, and I wrote on Facebook, "Please, dear God, don't let it be Sam Smith." And I got lots of likes for that. Funnily enough,
who's Sam Smith?
That crooner.
Which crooner?
He's a crooner.
He's a newie. He's pretty new.
Yeah, and mummies all love him because he smiles nicely and he dresses well and he looks the part of the person you want to take home. And he's so eggy sweet.
He's trying to be a cross between Bublé and somebody who's kind of a Bee Gees, kind of a falsetto-y kind of a dealio. He's kind of in between.
Yeah, he is. He's kind of that. Anyway, he didn't win. Ha, ha, ha.
Sorry for sneezing, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
But it's because, actually, I'm not very well this morning because did something stupid last night, right? We went to a do and they sat me next to the champagne table where all the glasses of champagne were. Well, it was dead easy to work out that all you had to do was have a sip off the top of each one. Then people would come round. Then, within the next few minutes, they'd come round and top them all up again. I was so drunk and for some reason, it's affecting my nose and makes me sneeze.
Anyway, as if we needed to know that. Pharrell Williams has walked away with
just
the big...
Pharrell, you say it every time. His name's Pharrell Williams.
No, it's Pharrell Williams.
It's Pharrell.
Pharrell.
You say tomato, I'll say tomato.
Pharrell.
No, he says Pharrell. Pharrell says Pharrell.
Well, I'm sorry, Pharrell. Pharrell, I am corrected by our voice of reason in Melbourne, Australia.
I'm voice of reason.
No, you're not.
You're supposed to stand and say, no, I'm the voice of reason.
No,
grow up, I want to be the voice of reason.
Yeah. Anyway, he walked away with a big prize from the first ever BBC Music Awards for the
He's very
best
good.
International artist. And won Song of the Year for his song, Happy.
Happy.
Yay!
Because I'm
so happy.
Yeah, I love
that song. I defy you to tap your toes. Anybody loves that song. It's just one of those really infectious songs. It's lovely.
Can I get a commercial in?
Yeah, go on.
You should see the one for the High Tetris in
it
Slovakia.
It is, good. He sent me that.
It's really stunning.
I've seen it. I've seen it. And it is good.
It is good, actually.
Ed Sheeran. Yay.
Yay. Yeah, we
the
like
dancing
it.
Dump truck makes it special, doesn't it?
I love Ed Sheeran because he's a... You know why I love him?
Go on.
Because he's a clever song. He's a clever storyteller in his songs. He's a clever storyteller, but when he's not doing his Ed Sheeran music, he's just a good bloke.
Yeah.
He's a child.
He's a good bloke.
So
he's
what?
A
does
child.
Not,
he's about 12 years old.
Does that make him not a good person if he's a child? Uncle Lee.
Yeah, what
he
are you
should
on?
Be arrested for the way he's destroying society at 12 years old. Those poor lads got it.
This is where the rant starts. Are you ready, Rach, to help me out?
Yeah.
Because also nominated, there was a Lee person there.
Yeah.
David Bowie was nominated, but he didn't even get in the mentions.
Well, he's got he's got emphysema and bad teeth now, hasn't he?
He's old. Anyway, the man who presented the top award was Sir Tom Jones, who sang...
Who can't walk anymore. His legs are bad as well, you know. His knees have gone...
From all those years of thrusting, he's got dodgy hips.
He was
and his pelvis fell off.
He was walking. And he sang with Paloma Faith.
I like Paloma Faith.
Unfortunately, it was the Beach Boys song, God Only Knows, but never mind.
Oh, that remake of that song. Everybody was putting it on Facebook, that new video with Coily and all those tosses in it. And it was just the most diabolical remake. It was horrible.
It was absolute rubbish. Anyway, I have to say the show was quite good. It was well...
No, it wasn't.
There was the typical moaners from the non-interesting newspaper department who were going, oh, it's a load of rubbish.
But it is a load of rubbish. But, you know, pop music. It gets the biggest reach that's in because it's pop, which means popular.
Yes, popular.
Poppycock.
People watch Coronation Street
because it's popular. Doesn't mean it's any good.
Hello, it's rubbish.
Rubbish.
Don't be rude about Coronation Street.
I don't watch it.
Well, you just shot yourself in the foot by saying if it's popular, it's rubbish.
All right, Emmerdale.
Rubbish.
Very popular. It's not. It's very good.
Rubbish.
It's terrible.
It is.
Oh, Juno.
If we show it here, we've got a whole channel dedicated to all your sloppy television. It's really gross. I never watch it.
I agree, Rach. Anyway, the programme was beautifully hosted by Chris Evans and Fern.
No, it wasn't. It was terrible.
Absolutely brilliant. Simplecast on BBC One, Radio 1 and Radio 2. And it was
Chris Evans looked like he's lost his toothbrush in a place he shouldn't have been put in it.
And it was so well received.
Like Utah.
Denmark, Japan and the whole of North Americas showed the programme. So it went out to millions and millions. Millions and millions, and the beauty was, of course, it was a great big commercial. I nearly said reclamer. I just automatically do speak Slovak on it. It was a brilliant, great commercial for the great exports, which are the UK talented musicians
and talented pop artists. People who last as long as a bag of popcorn. They just go pop like that, and it just makes you like, terrible. Should be banned. Pop music should be banned.
See, I knew it wasn't going to last. We knew, didn't we, Rach?
That's reasonable. That's a voice of sense. If you look at pop music, it should be banned.
No, but you have to say it in a reasonable voice. You can't say it screaming. It's how you deliver it, whether or not it's reasonable.
Yeah, I think that's probably the...
Say it like shout.
That's the voice...
I would never directly tell you to your face that you shout.
Right, it's all right.
You have to stand on a chair.
Oh, that was below the belt. It's really not, because it's true.
It's true. It's just a fact. I'm short. That's life.
Yeah, I know. But Rach, like me, I'm short as well. But little things, you know, parcels, little things.
But you only have shortcomings.
Oh. I'm the small things that I'm the small parcel that good things come in.
That's right.
Well, I'm yours, Rob.
I bet Rob's falling about at the moment. Anyway, Lee's
out to kill me.
Lee's going to love this one as well. Dr. Drea is revealed as
Dre. Will you please do some homework?
Drea means dark and dirty and unhappy. Yeah.
He's terrible, but he's very rich.
I couldn't resist that. Anyway, he's the top earning musician according to the Forbes list, making megabucks with his Beats headphones brand, which of course has been purchased as well now. So he probably made even more money that will go into next year's pot, because he sold it to Apple for $1.9 billion.
See, he's pretty good though, isn't he?
That's a good business.
He's real smart. He's very smart. He's not a very good musician, but he's very, very smart man.
That's all that counts.
So what's up with him as a musician?
Oh, he's atrocious. It's really awful. Rap's just rap. I feel about rap as you do about pop. So that's the end of that story.
Yeah, all right. I rest your case with
mine. We're going to be stuffed here, Rach, because the alleged American rockers known as the Eagles.
Oh, no! What a load of rubbish! The Eagles!
Oh, I hate them. They're awful.
Absolutely terrible.
You know what? I really enjoy them when they're not the Eagles. Like, I really like Don Henley's stuff by himself and the other guys have
done stuff. Don Henley's rubbish!
But I don't like the Eagles. I find it maudlin and depressing,
Repetitive and boring. And it's an insult to country rock that they turn out such pop-affected rubbish.
country rock.
They're terrible. They're terrible. Can you
say country and rock in the same sentence?
You can, but not anywhere in America, because they'll throw things at you.
That's what I was going to say. They call it New American Rage, but he's just old. Other veteran musicians also did rather well on the list.
Bon Jovi, what a load of rubbish!
I love Bon Jovi. I've been playing them hardcore in my
car. He's another pop
guys.
Guys,
can I just make a plea? On behalf of audio engineers around the world who have just got their ears blasted out by you two.
And
there'll be technical limiters going beep, 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 beep all over the place because of you two. Anyway, Bruce Springsteen, he's got loads of money as well.
A load of rubbish! He's terrible! Ever since he did Dancing in the Dark, he should have been bob against the wall and shot!
One for H, Justin Bieber.
Oh!
Look, hey, do you want to hear some good news? Did I tell you the good news about Justin Bieber?
What?
You know, my Beth has been in love with Justin Bieber for a long time and has her floor to ceiling plastered, walls plastered with Bieber stuff.
Right.
She has taken it all down. She's gotten rid of all her Bieber stuff. She's abandoned the Biebs.
Oh, no. Anyway.
I'm so happy.
Then we've got the wonderful One Direction. Yeah, that was all right then.
We're speechless.
Then we have got the brilliant, the extraordinary genius of Calvin Harris.
He's actually really clever.
He is. And then we've got the drop-dead gorgeous Katie.
She's beautiful to look at. I find myself hypnotised by her.
You
can't sing.
Are you having an alternative moment, Rach?
Yeah, it's almost like I'm a switch hitter for a second because really... She's really quite lovely, quite breathtaking.
Okay, well, we'll carry on with the ranting material.
Oh, I kissed a girl and I liked it.
You kissed a girl. Shortcomings there, then.
Do you know, it's so funny because you two live in places where it's kind of like, it's almost conservative to hear.
Aye.
Well, because, you know, like, I know that both countries, like the UK and Australia, have UK pride sessions and marches and all the rest of it. But behind the scenes, both communities are still conservative with a little C. Whereas here, it's very acceptable, as happened with the boss when he was here this week, because we were sort of having 5 minutes of fun time before he shoots off. and just chatting, not work for a change.
Yeah.
And we both stood up and I shook his hand and said, you know, enjoy your trip, see you in the new year, blah, 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 blah. And we both hugged, kissed on both cheeks, and nobody even looked.
Oh, you can do
that. That's not a sexual thing. I don't think we're that conservative in Australia. I think our government's conservative in its views about this, but I don't think we're conservative as a rule. I would have to disagree with you, but
well just done,
our way of greeting people in the West is different than the Europeans, I guess.
Right. And okay.
We can do that. That's been known to happen. But I'm more likely to sort of pitch a jar of Vegemite at your head. Hey, you going, copper?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, he's going to rant again. Rach, please help. Stay with me, Rach, please.
I've just burnt myself.
Good. We're about to go down the top 10 reveals from Twitter and Facebook 2014.
It's just rubbish. You can't waste the programme on stuff like this.
So here we go. Without the soundtrack from the amazing symbols that the Alan Fluff Freeman, the Australian man who made it the top
10. Is he an Australian?
Yes, he was. He was.
Is he still alive?
For everybody listening in my part of the world, if you're awake, God love you. But this is not worldwide. This is UK feeding. Because half this stuff didn't reach us.
Oh, that's unfair.
Anyway.
That's totally unfair.
Here we go with my top 10 countdown of Facebook thingies. In at number 10 were the First World War Centenary. Number 9, the Champions League final. Number 8, the Ebola virus outbreak. Number 7, Louis van Gaal takes over as Manchester United manager. Number 6, Robbie Williams dies. Number 5, conflict in Gaza. Number 4, the race for the Premier League title. Number 3, the Brazil World Cup. Number 2, the Ice Bucket Challenge to raise money to fight motor neurone disease. And in at number 1, the Scottish Independence Referendum.
What? See, half of that stuff with soccer and whatnot wasn't on our top 10.
You could have given me a round of applause for not fluffing the top 10.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's like, it is. I know what you say, Richard. Right, there's 5 stories about football on there. This shows the complete inadequacy and emptiness and vapidity of Facebook and whatever the others are called, Twitter. Because,
Lee, do you think you are representative of the journalist community?
I do.
That explains why the journalist community has no idea what it's talking about, then.
It's because this appeals to the lowest common denominator within society. And that offers up that there is such a thing as learning and expansion of your mind. And 140 characters on Twitter telling you about a football match isn't expanding your mind. Grow up, everybody. Twit your Twitters. Shove your Facebook and come back to the real world where we talk about intelligent things.
I don't know. I think anybody who actually doesn't live their entire life on Facebook and does get out and see the world can disregard those remarks.
I think you're right. But I will just say one thing, Rach. Just for number 3, for Lee's benefit, I will do my impersonation of number 3. England, England, England. Thank you very much.
That's a football song.
That's right.
Why don't we talk about Tom Jones's Delilah being banned at football matches? We can't do it because it upsets women who think it's about killing women. What a load of rubbish. That should be on
Facebook. That's as outrageous as the uproar about little kids sitting on Santa's lap.
I agree, very much so. Anyway, the Twitter top 10 is at number 10, Ed Sheeran. At number 9 was the BBC's Breaking News. Coldplay at 8. Zayn Malik at number 7. Em Watson at 6. Louis Tomlinson at 5. Real Liam Payne. There you go. Number 4.
These are all One Direction members.
Yes, sorry, he's just old.
One of them's missing off this list. The little one from Ireland doesn't crack it.
Oh, Ed.
Yeah, but the trouble is...
He's Irish.
Rach, I can't do number 3.
I like Irish.
Number 3, official Adele.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with Adele?
She's rolling in the deep. She's all right.
Rolling, yeah.
She's a real woman.
She is, actually. She's got cushion for the pushing.
Anyway, number 2 was One Direction. Harry Styles was at number 1. And that was the top 10 from Twitter's UK's most followed people of the year. We move on now to... This is something that always concerns me. Greenpeace has had to apologise this week for any moral offence it has caused after a publicity stunt in Peru. And I'm just wondering, is this the Greenpeace now showing its true colours? Or...
No, I think that organisation has completely lost its way, I reckon.
Mm.
There's just so much that goes on now that the people who founded Greenpeace would just say, what? What are you doing?
What's going on?
There's just a lot of stuff that they're doing that it seems to me to be completely contravening the notion of what they started out to be.
Yeah. I'm agreeing with you, and I kind of think it's like, you know, we really do, and I certainly do, understand a democratic protest, unlike that which is going on in Hong Kong now, where it is the citizens' right to actually say, hold on a minute, I don't agree with you. No. But the trouble is, alongside the sensible people, you get the loonies come along who start to break windows, loot shops, and actually destroy the probably very good message that the peaceful protesters are trying to share. And I just think Greenpeace is going into that area.
I think what you've just said there is outrageous.
Why?
And incendiary.
Why?
Because what we've done, we've condemned Greenpeace without saying what they've actually done. Let the people know what they've done, and then we'll know if it was outrageous and incendiary on their part.
Well, then you tell
them.
Or was
it just you?
Just tell them then. You go on. Off you go.
Right. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else, this is what happened. Right? The activists, right, put a banner next to a figure of a hummingbird that had been carved more than 1,500 years ago. They didn't put it on the hummingbird. They didn't traipse all over the hummingbird. They put it next to it to make the point. What the point they were trying to make exactly is, I'm not quite sure. But they didn't do anything wrong or damaging. And all they say is that, with our message, we expect politicians to understand the legacy we need to leave for future generations. And the reason they use that hummingbird is because that's a legacy for future generations. They did no damage to it.
But why didn't they just do it somewhere else?
Well, because they wanted to do it there.
But why do it there?
Because that's what they wanted to do. I'm not saying that I understand the machinations of the mind, but what I'm saying is, they wanted to do it there. They went ahead and did it.
But they don't own the property. It's not theirs.
Yeah, but they didn't go and do anything. People do enter people's properties. There's a case round the corner here.
So I can come round and put a banner on your house saying, Lee owes me 10 grand.
No. Well, you can if you want. Yeah. So you could. I think it'd be really funny.
It won't get you 10 grand.
No, but it's the fact that that's the business they're in. They're into urban, like, whatever it's called. They do, and they go to places that they shouldn't. And that's why they're famous, and that's why people look up to them. But in this case, they did nothing wrong.
If they had just put it on their own office in Peru, I would have actually not even come at it from the same stance. I'd have said, well done, on you go, well, good luck.
Yeah, but there's no publicity value in that.
There we are.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, they did say that they would be willing to face, quote, fair and reasonable consequences.
Yeah,
which is fine. So, that's what you do, isn't it?
So they've copped to it, and to be fair to them, and probably in contradiction to what I said earlier, they don't seem to shy away from their punishment whenever they have to face it.
I know. So anyway, we move on quickly. There was an immense spat yesterday or Thursday on BBC One television between the comedian, well, I'll use the term loosely, Russell Brand. And Nigel...
Genius of our time.
Yeah, Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage.
Fromage. over the immigration thing, where Mr. Russell alleged that Mr. Farage was a pound shop Enoch Powell.
Well said.
I'm quoting it. It was a good bum fight, wasn't it, Lee?
Well,
do you know what?
Was.
This is funny. I don't know anything about these guys, and I know what happened in this particular incident, but I don't know a lot about Fromage. But he did say something particularly funny. He said that Russell Brand was a lightweight who had a makeup artist for his chest hair.
Yeah, I know.
that's why it was a good.
Oh, it was good fun.
What's fascinating about it is that you have Russell Brand, who actually is probably one of the geniuses of our age, comedian.
I like him.
Nigel Farage, who unfortunately is making a grand impact on the world, on the UK and in other parts of the world, but both of them were the most impressive figures and most honest people on that show. Russell Brand was straightforward. He's never said he wants to stand for Parliament. He's never said that he wants to be a politician. He's just got a platform, and he's using that platform to put out what he sees as sense about the world, and I tend to agree with him. Farage, different kettle of fish, but actually, if you watch that programme, the sad thing is, you could tell on the faces of the audience. Nobody believed the Labour person, nobody believed the Tory, but they believed Farage.
Funny that. We're going to finish off with this week, as there's plenty more to come, I'm sure, in the next few weeks. Just goes to prove the point that Australians are bonkers. And they're equally as bonkers as the British. Because, and it's quite simple, top 20... from your Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade has been released, Rach.
Yeah, it's very a bit quickly. Bonkers. Very quickly, the consuls in all the different countries get all these really bizarre requests from Australians.
Excuse me, what's my other job? Yes.
He's a parking warden.
So, for example, there was a guy who had his laptop stolen overseas and requested that the embassy staff pick him up from the airport, loan him a laptop and provide him with office space for a few days or less. This 80-year-old woman asked the consul to come and pack her gear for her because she was travelling by herself and she's too old to pack her bags. They're going to start finding people now. It's brilliant. They're going to start finding people. I left some items on an aircraft when I changed flights. Can the embassy collect it from the airline's lost property? Nah. What's the best way to get a polecat out of your roof? Of course you ring the consul. Yeah, they are bonkers. And they're going to start finding people. Now they're going to find people.
Rach, you've got to read number four for me.
Number four.
You have to read
I'm attending a conference overseas with a large group of Australians, but I have heard it is a dangerous city. Can the High Commission arrange for a risk assessment and some armoured cars? We only need them for a week.
Why shouldn't the embassy do things like that? They're there to look after people.
Oh, dear, oh, pray. I mean,
they're very busy looking after all of our drug smugglers.
Yeah, but the typical Aussie. Multiple inquiries to embassies overseas as to the closest pub televising the rugby from the state of the...
Whoever comes up with an app for that is going to make... billions of dollars.
They are. It's unbelievable. I mean, fancy to... But you do get them. I mean, one of them that we got through the British consulate side, I've lost my false teeth. Can you get me a new set, please?
Ah! Is that you?
No! It
was you!
No!
But you've been indentured into that role. Rachel's awake now. Look out.
And I like this one. At number 18... Can the embassy tell the local police I have an excellent driving record in Australia and should not have to pay those outstanding speeding fines?
Yeah.
The one about the Egyptian sand. Will the Egyptian sand affect my asthma?
Yes.
If only if you stick your head in it.
I love them. I love them. I love the airplane one, Rach. That was really cool. And I think we've got time for just pick one more out, Rach. We've got time for one more.
On my last trip to the Philippines, I had some trouble with the law. What is the number of the embassy in Manila so I can call them to get me out of jail when I go back?
Oh, that's good. What about the 80-year-old woman who phoned?
Yeah, I did that.
Oh, did you? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
That's all right, love. Oh. I'm used to it.
No, did you really do that?
I think she did.
Well, all right. She did. I was being creative in advance, and I never got to do it. Well, no, I was working on a joke for that, so I missed the fact Rachel did it.
Oh, no. A mother who wanted the embassy in Bangkok to book accommodation and return ticket to Australia for her son, then provide an embassy driver to take him to the airport. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, that's my phone. Looks like I'm getting called to go. But we will finish on this one. I'm going on a cruise. What will the food be like? Can you drink the water on the ship?
Yes, you should tie yourself overboard and then have a big gulp of seawater. That always feels anything.
Rach, time for you to say goodbye.
Goodbye, Rach.
Was that it?
Yep.
Oh, all right.
Lee, she's a good girl. What?
Over to you to say goodbye.
Have I got to say goodbye now?
Yeah.
Does that mean I've got to go?
Yeah.
It's over?
Yes. Yeah.
It's the end.
Yes.
Full friends.
That's enough for you till next week. From everybody else, and thank you so much for your company. To Rob, I hope you enjoyed yourself. We'll see you in the same place next week. It's not Christmas quite yet. We'll be there soon. And we'll have some fun programmes coming up from Postcard from Pop Brad over the Christmas New Year thing. Something different, as we always do. Till then, don't get squashed in the Christmas shopping. We'll see you next week. You have a great week till next week. And just be nice to people. Because it's just really cool when you do that, you know. See you again soon. Bye-bye.